Jesus won't crush or break the already bruised and broken. He will not shatter the already cracked jar. He's a healer. He's a restorer. He's a lover. He's a fixer. Come on, everybody. He's a deliverer.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Welcome to another edition of Life Talk. Today, Pastor Jeff will share a special message that will explain why we believers go through seasons of pain and trials. Is there a purpose behind these sufferings? Why does God sometimes allow these painful experiences to happen? And how do we get back up and keep walking with Christ after a hard, debilitating fall? These questions and more will be answered in this new and exciting message we're calling Hanging by a Thread. Here's Pastor Jeff for more about today's message.
You know, one of the things Isaiah prophesied about the Lord Jesus is that he would be very gentle with those that are hurting, with those that are down and out, with those that are broken and shattered, that Jesus would not come along and crush them or put what remained of their flame out, but that he would encourage them, heal them, raise them back up, breathe fresh life into them, and get them back on the road of righteousness. And so we're going to talk today about what Isaiah prophesied regarding Jesus, that a bruised reed he would not break. And maybe right now you feel bruised, you feel broken and shattered, and you're wondering, is God still with me? Does he love me, even though I've made some terrible mistakes? And our message to you today is absolutely, and he will not put you down, he will not take you out, but he will raise you back up and breathe fresh life and vision into you. So let's right now go to the message entitled, Hanging by a Thread.
Have you ever noticed that the devil likes to slam God in your mind? Have you ever noticed that? Because the battlefield is your mind and my mind. The battlefield is the mind. Most of the battles you and I experience happen between your two ears. And the devil sows thoughts. Now, one of the things he loves to do is paint God in a way that he's not appealing to you or me. So he tells us God is a gotcha God. He's just waiting for you to make a mistake so he can get you. Gotcha. He's waiting for you to make a mistake so he can stomp on you and condemn you, and that God has a furrowed brow and steam coming out of his ears, and he's a gotcha God. But the Bible doesn't paint God that way at all. And it doesn't paint Jesus that way either. The Bible paints the Lord as being very gentle, very merciful, very kind, very long-suffering with us. How many of you are so glad he's patient with you and me? How many of you would be as patient with you as God is with you? Nope. Now, we would have done gotcha, but not God. God is patient. Now, Isaiah, the prophet in the Old Testament, painted the coming Messiah in a way that I want us to see today. And I'm just going to call this message Hanging by a Thread. How many of you, tell the truth, feel like today you're hanging by a thread in some way or another? Okay? We get that way, don't we? Now, Isaiah is going to describe and explain the person and the character of Jesus and how he deals with those who are hanging by a thread. So let's read it. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold. He's talking about Jesus. My chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He won't shout. He won't cry out. He won't raise his voice in the streets. Now watch this. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring justice. I already feel the anointing of God on this, because some of you need to know the Lord's not out to get you, unless you want to put it this way. He's out to get you healed. He's out to get you blessed. He's out to get you whole. He's out to get you peace. If you want to look at it that way, he's a gotcha God. Amen. Now, this verse, or these verses that I just read out of Isaiah, they are a prophecy about Jesus Christ. He's prophesying, which only God can do. Only God knows the end from the beginning. Only God can reach into the future and see exactly what's going to happen and come back into the present and tell you what's going to happen in the future. Because God is already in the future, and he's in the present, and he's in our past. Amen? So Isaiah, being led by the mighty God, is seeing into the future the coming of the Messiah. And God is showing him the character of the Messiah, how the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is going to deal with hurting people, how he's going to approach hurting people, what his attitude will be towards hurting people. Now he says, he calls the Lord Jesus my chosen one. He says, I'm going to put my spirit on him. And we're going to read a verse about that later in this message out of Isaiah 61, where he elaborates on what that means. But he said, I'm going to put my spirit on him. He's finally going to bring justice to the earth, where every wrong is going to be made right. Won't that be a great day? Because so often courts don't make things right. They're supposed to, but they can't. There's no such thing as perfect justice until Jesus comes. But then there will be perfect justice. But then Isaiah tells us something powerful and precious about the character of Jesus that I really want us to walk out of here with an understanding of today. He describes the way, once again, Jesus will deal with people who are on the edge. Ever been on the edge? Some of you are on the edge right now, but I've sure been on the edge many times. And he says, let me tell you how the Father is showing me the Messiah is going to deal with people who are on the edge, who are on the edge of life, who are on the edge of things, who are barely hanging on. How's he going to deal with them? He says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he's not going to snuff out. Now, let me tell you what that means. This jumped out at me, this verse, these beautiful verses, because it describes a gentle Jesus, a merciful Messiah, a loving Lord regarding hurting people. How many of you have hurt bad in your life? Come on, raise your hands. Don't we live in a hurting world? Man, you can't read the news without realizing that our world is one great big festering hurting wound. But I got good news for our world. If they want the good news, Jesus Christ died for hurting people. He died for hurt people. He died for wounded people and shattered people. Now, Isaiah uses two illustrations to describe different types of hurting people. His first illustration is a bruised reed. A bruised reed, which is a picture of deeply damaged people. Somebody bruised, a bruised reed. Now, the word bruised comes from a Hebrew word meaning cracked or half broken. Cracked or half broken. So it says that he will not break an already cracked or broken reed. He will not finish the job. He will not come in and finish you off if you're struggling just to get by. This is a metaphor for a person who has been deeply hurt, devastated, broken, shattered in life. The Humpty Dumpties of life. And I got news for you. All of us are Humpty Dumpties. And you know how that poem goes. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, but they forgot one king. Because there is one king who can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And I want you to say his name with me, Jesus. Come on, say it again, Jesus. So this is a metaphor. He's drawing a picture for us. This is people who are hanging by a thread, almost gone under, barely putting one foot in front of the other. Life has dealt some heavy blows, some major hurts. And this person that used to have a skip in their step and a gleam in their eye and a smile on their face now gets up and doesn't want to get up. When it's morning time, they wish it was evening. And when it's evening, they wish it was morning because they're mourning. They're walking around with pains that can't seem to get fixed. Their soul is bruised. Their lives are bruised. And because of the pain in their life, they're reaching out to different things to satisfy or to numb the pain. Alcohol, drugs, relationship after relationship after relationship. Anything that can somehow numb or fix or anesthetize the pain. But there is no fix unless it is fixed by the one who made you in the first place. And that's the whole idea here. And we've all seen, he compares us to a bruised reed. We've all seen these bruised reeds, these reeds he's talking about. They're water plants, kind of, I think of cattails. And they come up out of the water. They thrive in ponds or lakes. And they get about 3 to 8 feet high. And they poke up out of that water. And because they're so thin, they're fragile. And the winds blow and the waves hit these reeds. And when the wind blows, these reeds, because they're so tall and thin, they bend and they break and they get easily bruised. And so he's talking about the bruised reed. And he's comparing you and I to that reed. When the winds of trial come, the adversities of life beat against us. It so often bruises us. It hurts us. Somebody does us wrong and we're hurt inside. We're in an adversarial world. We're in a world of battle. The devil is the prince of this world. Anything he's the prince of, it's got to be bad. So he's comparing us to this reed that gets bent or snapped because they're so fragile and easily damaged. And he says people are exactly the same way. You may feel strong, you may feel invincible, but you are not. Have you been to a high school reunion lately? Did you see all the people, the former football stars, the former homecoming queens, all the people that had it all going on back then? Did you even recognize them when you saw them at the high school reunion? Yeah, and you thought to yourself, what in the world happened to you? Let me tell you what happened to them. Life happened to them. Because life is hard. Life is tough. This world is not easy. Jesus assured us in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But fear not. I have overcome the world. Amen. So we're compared to a bruised reed, but really, you could also use the illustration of a cracked jar of clay. Because bruised means cracked or broken. And so you got to think of a cracked jar. A cracked piece of pottery, a once beautiful jar that was on display for all to see has now been damaged, and that's you and that's me. You look at the pictures of you and me when we were little bitty babies, oh, so cute. And you look at some of them and go, what happened to him? What happened to her? I can answer it. Life is what happened. Life has dealt some hard blows, and this jar now is cracked. You, me, this jar is now cracked. It's damaged goods that nobody wants. This first illustration of a bruised reed or a cracked jar suggests that the damage is visible. You know, if I'm going through a pottery store and I see a beautiful vase that I might want to buy, but if I look closely, then I see a crack on the outside, its value drops immediately. I may not even want it because now it's cracked. It's visible. When something is cracked, it's visible to the naked eye. And that's the idea here, that what has happened to this person that Isaiah is referring to, that Jesus died for, is no mystery. The various trials that have brought them to this place of being cracked or bruised or shattered are known. We know what happened to them. That divorce, loss of that job, that destructive drug habit, alcohol habit, whatever it was that got hold of their life, it's no mystery. We see the crack on the outside. Their outer life is visible to all, so it's known. But the second illustration uses a smoldering wick, points to the inward life of a person. This is what's going on inside them. It's not outside. It's not outer. You can't see it unless you know them real well. It's inward. It's pointing to a condition of their heart that might be hidden to most people around them. You know, you don't really know someone till you're around them all the time and live with them. Then you begin to see things the outer folks, outer society does not see. You begin to see the inner woundings. You begin to see the inner pain. You begin to see, and that's what Isaiah is talking about. The smoldering wick is an inside thing. In this second illustration, Isaiah is pointing to burned out people. Burned out. When you're burned out, you can look great on the outside, but really be dying on the inside. We've all seen a candle that is burned down. It's just barely flickering. The slightest breeze would blow it out. And that's exactly what Isaiah has in mind, that Jesus Christ came to die for not only cracked jars that you can see on the outside, but for those who are dying on the inside and nobody knows it. The flame of zeal, the flame of first love, the flame of passion for God, for Jesus, that inner fire the Holy Spirit puts within us is now just barely a flicker. The bruised reed and the cracked pot are visible. The smoldering wick is unknown to most people because it's their inner life. Listen, it's the inner life, the hidden part of them that's in trouble. This person may have a great job, a nice car, wear the best clothes, carry a Neiman Marcus, or what I like to call needless markup credit card. They sport a $1 million Hollywood smile, more permanent than Mona Lisa's. You see them, they're always smiling. But on the inside, here's the truth, their inner fire, the zeal, the hope, the spiritual passion, their first love that once blazed brightly is now barely flickering. What has happened to you? Different things have extinguished the fire in me. I got offended. I got hurt. I got left behind. I was betrayed. My dreams didn't happen. My future did not unfold like I thought that it would. I thought God said this, but he didn't say this. He said that instead. And now I'm dealing with spiritual burnout. I just don't have the get up and go anymore that I used to have. Am I talking to anybody today? This is so important. Because you feel like you're holding your world up with a toothpick. Life doesn't have any meaning like it used to. The thrill is gone from your spiritual journey. You used to be in church every time the doors open, and I'm talking to some people watching by webcam right now. I love you, but let me tell you, if you could have been here and you're not, you should have been here. Now, why aren't you here? Listen, I'm not getting on to you, but let me get on to you. Let me tell you, has this happened to you? Has the fire gone out? Are you trying to hang on? Listen, there's a sanctuary full of people that have experienced the same thing. You ought to get here and rub shoulders with us. And you say, well, there's just a bunch of hypocrites there. Well, come and help us not be hypocrites. I'm a hypocrite too. I mess up sometimes too. But come on and help us not be a hypocrite. But I understand your pain. Because it's hard to get going when the fire is out. It's hard to keep going when the fire is out. It's hard to be excited when you're not excited. It's hard to put on a show when you don't really feel the way people expect you to. Well, listen, we hypocrites here, we don't care if you don't put on a show. We want you to come and be real. We want you to come and be who you really are here. And I say that in love because I've been where you are. I understand it. The Bible says about your inner life, your inner man, that part of you that is your soul, that part of you where the Spirit of God lives inside of you and lit that initial flame of first love and zeal in you. That inner man, the strength of your spiritual life, is what props you up and carries you. If you go to the gym every day, and you are ripped and muscular, and they could put you on a magazine cover. That is not what covers you and carries you. That is not your greatest strength. Your greatest strength is in the inside, because you can be mighty on the outside, but dying on the inside. Listen to the Bible. A healthy spirit conquers adversity, but what can you do when the spirit is crushed? What can you do when your spirit is crushed? Listen to this version. The spirit of a man, that inner part of you, can help you through sickness. But who can carry a broken spirit? In other words, if you're dying on the inside, you can't go through anything without it breaking you down. But if you're strong on the inside, you can go through anything because the spirit inside of you will carry you. It will carry you. If you've got a healthy interior life, it will carry you through any and all trials. But if your interior life is not healthy and strong, anything can break you down. Come on, everybody. And usually the two conditions, bruised reed, smoldering wick, go together. Whatever it is that cracked the outer pot has also affected the candle within, maybe in your own life. The winds of adversity have blown, the rains of hardship have fallen. a flood of trials is beating on your spiritual house, and you feel like today the flame inside of you is just barely a flicker. You're just trying to stay alive. You're just trying to stay alive, but you feel like you're going through the motions. You know how to act in church. You know how to walk the walk and talk the talk. And so you get by without people really knowing that deeply inside of you, you're struggling. You may even be in a faith crisis. I talk to people fairly often who are in a faith crisis. They're questioning God. Where was he? Why did he let this happen? Where was God when this all went down in my life? And that flame is flickering. It's not blazing anymore. And they need to find a way. That's why Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, fan into a flame the gift of God that's within you. Fan it into a flame. Don't let, Timothy, the flame flicker, but fan it into a blaze again. Amen. Trouble happens to Christians all the time. Say, Pastor Jeff, you ought not confess that. Well, it's just the truth. You can confess all day that you're not going to suffer, but you're still going to suffer. Well, I don't receive that. Well, don't receive it. That's okay. You're still going to suffer. Because we're in a suffering world. You say, well, if I just confess it, I won't. No, that's just not true at all. If Jesus told me I'm going to suffer, then brother, I'm going to suffer. Come on, everybody. Jesus said, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Now, I've got good news today. The broken, bruised, and burned out of this world are the people Jesus came to die for and rise again from the dead. He came for you and me, because guess what? Truth be known, we've all been bruised. We've all been broken. We've all been shattered. We all need to be put back together. Come on, everybody. Is that you? That's me. Jesus didn't come to judge the world, condemn the world, destroy the weak and the fragile of this world. No, 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 that's not why he came. The prophet said, a bruised reed, when he encounters somebody bruised, he will not break them. When he encounters a smoldering wick, I'm just barely hanging on, Lord. I don't have what I used to have. I don't have that fire that I used to have. He will not snuff it out. His heart is to fix us, not nix us. Amen? Jesus won't crush or break the already bruised and broken. He will not shatter the already cracked jar. He's a healer. He's a restorer. He's a lover. He's a fixer. Come on, everybody. He's a deliverer. Jesus won't deepen your afflictions, worsen your trials, or multiply your sorrows. That is not what he's about. He brings healing, restoration, wholeness, and renewed hope. I read this week about Canadian pop star Justin Bieber. Couldn't believe it. I just saw a story on him. Justin's now turned to Christ. He's totally plugged into a great church. And he tells his story. He said, on the outside, it looked like Justin had the world by the tail. That's what the story said. Fame, fortune, women, everything. Before he was even 20, he had mega millions. Before he was even 20, he was on top of the world, seemed to have it all. But the story goes on to say that Justin was a bruised reed, and nobody knew. He says he ultimately reached a dangerous place where he was descending, I'm quoting now his own words, I was descending into a downward spiral of partying and drug abuse and found myself lost and confused, depressed and angry. I withdrew from those who cared about me and found it hard to even get out of bed in the morning. But then the article went on to say, he says, but in the end, it was only Jesus who could turn it all around. Now he says, even when the odds are against you, keep fighting because Jesus loves you. Amen. Come on, everybody. The Lord's moving all the time. He's moving all the time.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111 or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time as we continue this brand new message called Hanging by a Thread. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again on our next Life Talk broadcast. Until then, may God bless you richly.